Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Hello, humans. Welcome to a new Level Up Human thing. We don't quite know what this thing is yet. If you've been following our series, as I hope you have, otherwise why are you here? You'll probably notice that we tour the country, we go to science festivals, arts festivals, music festivals, anywhere that'll have us really. We get experts to try and decide what they'd like to see in the next stage of human evolution. Well, that's great, and we get lots of good people involved. The downside is it means that our news is sometimes a little bit out of date as we release our programs out of sequence and with a little bit of time elapsing. So to try and counteract that, today I'm joined by producer Rachel Wheely.
Hello.
Who's been behind the scenes for this entire time, but we want to take a bit more of a responsive look. We want to have a look at what's in the news right now and how that might help us better our species. If you like what we're doing, we'll probably keep doing this and filter them in among the live recordings and maybe something else. Doing it this way also means that we can both have as much coffee as we like and we can record in our studio, which is currently Rachel's kid's bedroom. So right now I'm sitting with a bit of Lego firmly lodged in my behind.
You don't want to know what you're saying on.
No, but it also means we've got the advantage that we've got Google right in front of us and we can fact check things as we go rather than relying on the brains that we have in the room.
That's very good.
As they are.
As will become evident, I know nothing. Luckily,
that
you know some things.
That is not true. So yeah, I am a biologist by training, so I've got an excuse for being here. Rachel is an amazing stand-up. And you do have an interest in science. You have a psychology degree, which is almost science.
Almost.
Is it a BSc,
I've
actually?
I've got a BSc, man. A proper scientist. I suppose the nice thing for me about science is it's a lot more uplifting and full of hope than the rest of the news. So yeah. I just like reading it just for that, really.
Yeah, it's kind of is a choice of dying a nuclear holocaust. Or
you go to the science pages and it's all about Elon Musk talking about flying to New York in 20 minutes in his suborbital spaceship. So, you know, that's cool, right?
Do you actually like Elon Musk?
I find him fascinating. He's clearly a supervillain. But, I think he's a very interesting guy. But I get quite obsessed with, like, people like that, like Jeff Bezos and people who are trying to fly people around.
Who's Jeff Bezos?
He's the Amazon founder who also has a company called Blue Origin.
So when you have too much money, basically what happens is you try and tackle all the world's problems.
I think it's fascinating that he started selling secondhand books out of his garage in 1994. And now he's about to launch a suborbital spaceflight company.
That's a perfectly logical transition, I think.
So
if they're using drones to send the things to our houses, the next is suborbital drones.
So when you say, do I like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, I'm fascinated by them. And I wonder what they're trying to compensate for.
So, how are we going to do this? We're going to try and delve into things that we find interesting in the past week, what science stories have grabbed us, gripped us, and what the implications, I guess, might be for our species.
And it would be really helpful if you could tweet us stories that you think we should talk about, because we're going to record this, and then release it really quickly afterwards. So you can tweet us stories that you think we should talk about. Because I'm doing the school run most of the time, man. I mean, I'm just not in the loop half the time. So that would be very helpful.
And where do they tweet us?
At Level Up Human.
Spot on. Mm. Or we're on Facebook, sometimes when I can be bothered to check, if I'm honest. Yes. And we're also, you know, you'll find us all over the web. Get in touch, whatever way you see fit. So should we dive right in? What
Let's
is
go
the
for
first
it.
Story?
What okay, so the big story this week is that chemical surgery has been used successfully on human embryos for the first time in a Chinese university. Sun Yat-sen University, would that be the right way to pronounce that, do you think?
I have no idea.
No, I don't know. So that they were the first team to use CRISPR on human embryos.
Can we explain? Should we explain what CRISPR is as a opposed to something which makes chips like nice and tasty?
You can. Go on.
It is a kind of a badass enzyme that we've nicked from bacteria, and it's the best way to think of it is little tiny chemical scissors, and not only are they little tiny chemical scissors, they're good ones. This is making genetic engineering far more viable, far, far cheaper, and just far more better than it ever has been till now. So if you saw any sci-fi movies in the early noughties, late 90s, we're now at that stage. The kind of stuff that people were making up in the past, we're getting
it's
toward
happening.
Being able to do.
Well, in Sun Yat-sen University were the first university team to use CRISPR technology on human embryos. And they've now taken that step further with base editing, which is even more precise way of editing the genome. So they have cured a human embryo of beta thalassemia by editing a single base on the genome of the embryo. So they've swapped a G for an A. I mean, it's that specific what they've done.
Yes.
So it's like even more focused
sort of
it's less, than CRISPR.
They've changed to a G, haven't they?
Is it?
I don't know.
Maybe it is. So CRISPR can do clever things, but base editing is like, you know, it's like editing a Word document, I guess. We go, that G needs to be an A, and you just go in and change it. I say just.
So
that's pretty amazing. So what they're basically saying is that they're going to be able to, potentially, they're going to be able to cure some genetically... inherited diseases.
So what we're talking about here is designer babies. Let's get on, you know, let's be honest and fully frank. And I don't mean like ones that have got gap.
Yeah, so if your family has an inherited disease, they could stop that.
Mm.
They could be like, right, that's the last baby that's born with that now. That's not going to happen anymore.
Currently only if it's something simple like this.
Yes.
So half the problem is most diseases aren't simple.
This disease is special in that it is one single base in the DNA.
Yeah.
Which needs changing to correct it. So presumably anything more complicated than that would be a lot harder.
So ethics-wise, Rachel, is this right? Is this wrong? What is your stance?
Oh, that's a good... I like that. That's a great way of looking at it. Ethics-wise, is it right? I feel responsible now for deciding for humanity whether... I mean, this is the problem with this version of the podcast, right? It's just us. I'm in charge. No, I'm not in charge. But there's nobody to argue with me apart from you.
I will argue with you. I'm here for that at all points.
Okay. Is it well? Okay.
Usually, when you're right,
if you
I'll
look
argue
at it,
with you as well.
If you look at it from the perspective of somebody who has an inherited disease in their family and they're about to have a baby, and you can say to them that baby will not have that inherited disease, and that's the only thing that will change. Whereas CRISPR, for example, there's a few side effects with it. Apparently, because it's not quite as specific gene editing as this new base editing that they've just done. So for the first time ever, you're going to be able to say, we will take away this inherited disease in your line and that'll be it. Everything else completely the same. So when you say designer babies, it's like, well, it's a very specific change. But of course, then on the other hand, there's the, well, that's a slippery slope argument in that we're, at this point, we can cure that, but then later down the line you're going to be able to say, would you like its eyes to be green rather than blue? Let's do that for you as well.
Okay, and is that right?
I mean, I think there's enough diversity in the world for it to be okay.
So which part to be okay? To be able to change things to how we want them or just for a medical application? What are we talking here?
I definitely think that it's a good thing to be able to get rid of inherited disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as far as that's concerned, I don't have any ethical problem with that. I think that's a miracle. That's brilliant, right?
Yes.
Happy. In terms of whether 50 years down the line and they go, would you like its eyes to be green rather than blue as well? That's a bit dodgier. But then I also think there's a lot of, there's enough diversity in the world that if you want to do that, then you can.
Okay. So
but gonna, then the I'm baby gonna... has no say in it, do they?
So... Yeah, but the baby has no say in anything. That's what babies are. Yeah. Like, they've no... To take.
Thank Christ, otherwise they'd never get to school.
Well, yeah, but also to take the full sort of, like, 19-year-old me, I didn't ask to be born in the first place argument.
Yeah.
You can't really say...
I'm getting that already, have... minus 7, 5 and 3. I get that from all of them.
And so... they have existential angst from birth?
They do.
Well, okay, no, okay, right. I want to drill deeper into this because this is where these things do get interesting. Okay, I'm not arguing now. I'm not going to ask you about something like blue eyes and green eyes. But if we accept that illness is something which, you know, causes a decline in the quality of life and something which causes maybe a rapid or early death, something like that, how about just a gene that will just make you live that bit longer? Is that now okay? If we edit the things which give us more longevity. Like, why not say, for instance, give us the edits which will allow us to deal with fast food that little bit better, and therefore we don't die of obesity-related diseases?
Mm. No, what, so the body processes fast food better?
Yeah,
mean?
For instance. Okay. We're talking the McGene.
Yeah, McGene. Okay. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? I mean, I can tell this is going to definitely drive into a brick wall at some point where you're going to go, what about this? And I'll go, oh, no, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to gene edit your moral compass here.
Okay,
that's what I'm going for.
I'll just answer how I feel. Yep, that's fine.
That's fine. Mm. So what about something which might help you live a better life? Because it makes you feel a bit better about yourself and be happier.
I'd absolutely take that.
Absolutely okay.
100%, yeah.
All right.
There's enough depression in the world.
So what wouldn't you take? Where can we say you can't gene edit? And I'm talking about the best case scenario. I'm aware that we're talking sci-fi here. I'm aware that we're not at any of these points yet, but hence we have to have these ethical discussions before science managed to come up with things.
Yeah, so if we extrapolate this to ad nauseam, right, what we're talking about is eventually being able to say, right, no inherited disease. You can choose your baby's sort of facial features and attributes and whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody is born beautiful.
Yeah.
And will always be beautiful and will live for a long time and will have extraordinarily long-lasting organs and all
yes.
of that stuff. And will be able to eat McDonald's every day and not become obese. Then... Well, I mean, there's a problem for diversity, isn't there? Because if you, then everything tends towards the same fashionable way of looking.
So what you're saying is that you love this diverse world where we've got poverty and suffering. Suffering's good for diversity, really. You better like keep people different so that there's inequalities and all the problems of our planet.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I'm not saying that.
You're not?
No.
Okay, so do you want to dig up now? Or this is getting like bullying, actually, really, isn't
no,
it?
It's
is
not.
This what?
It's not, but I need to get better at.
Because the other thing is, while asking you these,
arguments,
while asking you these questions, I've got by without having any opinion whatsoever.
Well, okay, what do you think?
Oh, I have no idea, Rachel. That's why I'm asking you. This is.
You do have an idea, though. You should commit to something. What do you think?
No, my commitment gene is not very strong.
Okay, we'll edit that in the future. But do you think it's do you think it's fine to be able to get rid of an inherited disease in a baby?
Yeah, so I think the way I think of it is if you're going to have to, the place where I draw the lines is nearly always if it's going to have to be something that you treat in life, then you should try and treat it before life.
That's good. Yeah, that's great.
So
does like that
mean I've beaten you round or down
no,
or something?
No, that's brilliant. I'm very happy with that. I'll come up with something later, which I think, but hang on, what about this? But right now I'm thinking, no, I like that definition. If it's got to be treated and you can cure it before birth, then do that. Otherwise, beyond that, maybe not.
Yeah, because that one you can make a very good argument for the patient and you can also make a very good argument for economics and the like.
Mm.
You know, and if you take the kind of doctor view of first do no harm, if it's not harmful, then that's completely fine. As soon as you're into anything which can give you just, I don't know, being smarter and a better advantage to your life, that's not medical anymore. So I'm currently taking the medical point of view.
Yeah. Good.
Excellent. Well, that's that solved.
That's
take
that,
that ethics.
Done. Basically, we're saying we approve of this between us.
Well, look,
we should get someone
long.
On the podcast who's got a much more like horrifically strong and conservative moral compass than either of us, who are very liberal, guests. Guests, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant idea. We should record this like live in front of an audience of guests who know what they're talking about. That would be a great idea, man. We should perhaps take it to festivals and things and tour it around the country.
One day we'll do that.
Wow.
Yeah. This is basically we've engineered this podcast completely in the reverse of what everyone else does. We've started big and now we're gonna get smaller and smaller and smaller until it is just you and I talking to no listeners at all. Let's crack on. We've solved. So this particular news story that they've done chemical surgery to correct a genome in a human embryo, we approve of that. That is Level Up Human approved.
Yes.
Right. So what else have we got? Is there anything else?
So my news story, the thing which has really grabbed me in terms of, furthering the species, is that they're bringing out a new Blade Runner movie and they're going to really ruin it. And I'm sad.
Okay.
Now, even if that it gets good reviews, and I think it has got good reviews, and you know what? I can't really say this when I haven't seen it, but I'm going to anyway. It's just going to miss all the philosophy and joy and all the stuff of the first ones.
Of course it is. Nobody's interested in any of that.
Oh, but the whole point... I don't want to spoil Blade Runner, the original good one, which is actually not even the original good one, because it's actually the director's cut, isn't it? Which doesn't have Harrison Ford's awful voiceover acting thing on top of it. Is that it doesn't tell you everything and it doesn't answer your questions. Mm-hmm. And I know by virtue of Harrison Ford being in this one, it is going to have to answer a question. So it has a lot to live up to from me. I'm going to reserve all my judgment, but Hollywood, I'm not happy.
But it will probably be better special effects.
I'm going to walk in with a scowl on my face. And I know it's got Ryan Gosling, who's generally awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to have good special effects, and I know there's been good sequels, but I don't want to take a happy position on this just yet.
So just tell me quickly the story of Blade Runner, because as will become evident to regular listeners, I have seen no films. And I have seen Blade Runner, but I've forgotten. And I want to know, what is the implication for the future of the species of the film?
Well, the whole point is that they have replicants. That is what the film is about, the original one. So there are... robots, in their case, or genetically controlled robots, or some kind of cybernetic thing. It's never made completely clear. Artificial humans, let's call them that. Synthetic humans, which are replicants. And they are coexisting with humans, and thanks to things which allow them to be given a sort of backstory for their life, they may be in a position now, in the first film, that they cannot tell that they're synthetic themselves. So it's mainly about sort of, I guess, memory editing and memory implantation and the like. It's also about how do you appreciate your life if you know it's short-lived?
Do they not live for very long?
They've got an expiration date, at which point they will switch off.
Right.
And do I have to do proper spoilers ahead of what happens in the film?
Spoilers may follow.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the original, go see it, get cultured before you come back to this podcast. The implication at the end of the movie is that the main character,
if you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Harrison Ford's guy might actually be a replicant himself.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, he knows he's going to die within about 4 years. What does he do now?
Right.
Does he take the life he has and move on, or...?
Is that an unnecessary bit of sort of like plot cranking where it's not as interesting if the replicants live for a normal amount of time, and so
but it forces the main character in that case to make a choice. So it's him deciding effectively if he thinks he's synthetic or not.
Right.
So I guess having a finite and shortened lifespan forces Harrison Ford's character, Decker, to jump ship and run off with another replicant, perhaps. Because if they're both going to die soon, does it really matter? So yeah,
sounds great. I have seen it, but it was so long ago and I can't remember. It's one of my dad's favourite films ever. And he talks about it a lot, and I'm always feeling slightly guilty because I can't really remember what happens in it. I'll maybe watch it before we record the next one of these.
Well, you know, maybe I should be excited, but just like I think that everything should not have a sequel. I want things to end, like when a podcast has run its natural course and is no longer recording in front of live audiences entering a country
and has run out of money.
Yeah, it should just stop.
Like, just kill it.
Things should it precisely. And rehashing, particularly of new, when they inject new people into things as well, just to try and bring a whole new life, and like there's new voices and.
I mean, I can't think why you do that, especially when that person has no real reason to be there. Now, barn owls, Simon.
Yes.
Yeah, I found out this week that barn owls, and you'll know this already, barn owls have 3D hearing.
Yeah. They do.
Which is so cool. And I didn't realise that was the case. So so what it is...
So do
is
we, that, by the way. You're aware of that.
Well, but not as much, right?
Yeah,
so we've got ears on each side of our head, which means that we can spatially...
Did you really just check that? Yes.
Well, I'm taking you through this from first principles for the sake of... Because the next bit isn't going to make any sense if I just say it, right? So that means that you've got a way of working out where the sound is.
Yes, I'm writing
because
this down 2 years.
What your brain is doing is it's working out whether it hears the sound from the, you know, what the difference is between when it hears the sound in the left ear and when it hears the sound in the right ear is a way of working out how far away the sound is, how quick it's moving, right?
Yes.
Is that right? But barn owls have their ears slightly, one is higher than the other.
Uh-huh.
So they can also work out where the sound is based on where it's coming from in like a vertical space.
Yes.
So a barn owl can jump on a thing in the dark with great accuracy, or at least a lot more accuracy than we would be able to, because it's got this... Go on, tell me what I've missed.
No, you haven't missed anything. This is all spot on, but again, one of the cool things is that it's true of humans as well. We have our ears at slightly different heights.
Are they?
Slightly, not so much.
I didn't realise that.
And one of the really cool bits of kit for your barn owl is that not only do they have their ears at different heights, they're also inverted. So the shape of the ear canal differs. So if you think, so it's like one ear's upside down.
Cool.
And that allows...
See, that's right. We should have that one upside down ear, I think.
At all times.
Well, the whole point of this podcast is working out how humans could be better, right? And one ear upside down forever. Yeah, that's a great idea. Or
it would ruin spectacles.
Rotational ears.
What would you hang your glasses off?
That's a good point.
Where would you keep your pencils?
Well, no, hang on, though, because an ear can still hang a glasses arm off it when it's upside down. That would still work.
Why? I suppose it hooks over your eye.
Over the other... That would be fine.
Only if you've got the genetic variation which gives you lobes, like which I don't have. Mine are connected. for instance.
I still think it would be fine. But anyway, so, and also they have regenerating, is it cilia?
Yeah.
So their hairs and their ears regenerate, whereas ours don't.
I know, that is cool. So, and that really matters.
So we need all of that.
It's one of the reasons why your hearing deteriorates, like it's how they fall out.
Yeah, because I used to work on the Today programme on Radio 4, right? And I remember somebody saying to me at a party once, who was trying to just improve Radio 4 network via me, how would that work? He said, the thing about Humphreys is he doesn't enunciate his high frequencies. And I was just like, well, that's your ears, mate, isn't it? That's just you can't hear anything over, like, 12K.
I'd like this. I've had tinnitus for as long as I can remember. And it's usually quiet. But, like, the way to sort tinnitus, theoretically, would be to kill those hairs which are malfunctioning. Which that would be effectively a particular form of deafness is the only thing that will cure my tinnitus.
Which might be better than having a...
Well, it's only very slight. So I can only ever hear this like annoying high-pitched whine thing when it's really, really quiet.
Might just be your producer.
Or
I don't know.
No, this is cool. I love Barnells. So you're going to take it from Barnells.
I'm chucking this in the middle of everything else. This isn't news. This is just... although, actually, I did hear about it on the news, so...
Because
the cilia regenerating is something that we apparently didn't know before. This is like a new discovery that they can regenerate the cilia in their ears, little tiny hairs, which help you hear. So that's quite cool, right? So that was the news, but I didn't realise about the 3D hearing thing that they've got in the first place, which I thought was more interesting. Yeah. So if we're going to level the species up, we want all of that pimped hearing. But I've got one more thing, which is computers are being trained to learn to argue, apparently. So there's a thing called the Center for Argument Technology, and they are basically...
Oh, you're joking. That is a real thing.
Of course there is.
That is basically IKEA. That is argument technology for me.
If you think about so the way that computers learn to play chess and learn to do all this stuff, right? If you feed in all of the Guardian comment threads into that, then you end up with somebody really annoying who can convince you of absolutely anything at all.
No, but this is worrying because effectively they have already had to have a computer learning from things like comments, which was that bot that they released on Twitter and within 10 minutes was a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... learning from something like social media and comments, which I think is commonly called the bottom half of the internet, is not going to be... That's not what we want.
That's great, the bottom half of the internet. I like that. My husband reads all the comment threads, and I have no idea why. I'm just like, why...
Does he post them? Is he one of them?
Why would we want to know anything that anybody thinks? like...
Yeah, but look, is he just a spectator? Like,
yeah,
is this,
no, he just reads them. But he gets a lot of... He gets a lot of interesting kind of angles on opinions from them, you know, like things that you might not think about yourself unless you're actually having an argument with somebody. So, you know, like reasons why a certain thing that you might think isn't right or might need work or whatever. I can't think of an example, but that's why he reads them. I don't have time and I can't be bothered, but, you know.
Let's go back in. So tell me about argument technology. That's where you are.
So argument technology is like artificial intelligence, but computers which are being trained in actual rhetorical techniques, and so they're being given ways to understand an argument and come up with counter arguments and all of that sort of thing.
So they're teaching them the tools of non sequitur and logical fallacies and things, so they can spot problems in arguments, is that it?
Yeah, and eventually we'll be able to construct arguments themselves.
Okay.
Which is great, because what it means is that you can take the people who write the most stupid Guardian comment threads and just present them with a computer who will just, like, fire things back at them until they've learnt how to be more analytical and think things through a bit more.
I'd love it if there's just like something, and so is your mum. Like there'll be something which works out as...
I mean, that's the problem.
It goes out to puerile infantile.
That's the sort of computer I would program, which just goes, your mum didn't say that. You know, and that's no good to anybody. So yeah, I just like the idea of being able to take a person and just sit them in front of a computer, which will kind of just present them with
better ways
of thinking.
I'd like to suggest a better mechanism for this, because this is something I've been arguing for years and years. Teach a computer this. Yes, that's a good idea, but we should teach people this. Like, I seriously advocate teaching philosophy in primary schools, because I think it's really hard to have a decent grounding in logic and still be a racist, misogynist, still be a... Like, I can understand we all have our own biases and our cognitive things, and the things that I'm sure I will have my own ones that I'm unaware of. But using the tools of reason and intellect are a good way of trying to counteract them. So, you know, having a starting position of I might be wrong, and then using things like logic.
So debating clubs, but sort of...
Well, not even just debating clubs. Like, I suppose turning it up a notch to teach people from a very young age that... Because the problem with debating clubs to an extent is that makes people believe that the whole world is argument. You know, there's not things which are true. And that gives us the world maybe that we have nowadays where we think opinion and fact are sort of equal. And okay, I know that even the word fact is a difficult thing philosophically, but...
So history teaches a bit of that, right?
Well, I'm always wondering this, because, you know, that thing where you hear historians saying, you know, if you don't have an understanding of history, then it'll repeat itself. And I go, okay, come on, historians, step up to the mark, do something now. Thank you, all you practical historians, you've saved us. Everything's going just fine. No threat of nuclear war, no threat of another Cold War. Oh, what? What 1930s-style fascism having a renaissance like it's just some kind of retro vintage throwback? Yeah, thanks, historians.
They speak very highly of you.
Do they?
But it's about, like, history will teach you how to go back to primary sources and that sort of thing, right? So there's, like, little techniques in all kinds of disciplines which will help. But are you saying we should teach philosophy and rhetoric and logic and stuff in schools, like, as a lesson?
As very young, I suppose. Mm. Like, as forms of play, primary games. Primary.
Right.
Yeah. That's the key, is to start at... To start very young.
Is that school's job, though, or is that actually parenting?
No, I think logic is a school's job, because it comes in useful for computer science, it comes in useful for maths, it's very useful for science, full stop. You know, like, this is stuff that can be learned and make you better at other things, too.
Mm. Okay, good.
And English and debating and all that.
Cool, we can...
Teach computers and children philosophy. Is that a tick?
That's a tick. Okay.
Teach computers to teach children philosophy.
Well, I mean, I think that's what they're saying, is ultimately computers could be in court, you know, presenting a case for somebody.
Oh, no, that...
And that sort of thing.
I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a film in that. There's definitely a sci-fi book in that, at least.
You wouldn't need to get a computer to defend someone, because it would be the same one. Surely.
Well, yeah.
It, like, you wouldn't need the prosecution or the judge or the jury. We just need a completely mechanised...
Yeah, well, this is the thing, so ultimately the computer could do it very fast, and we wouldn't like that. Because I think one of the things we like about the justice system is it's all given a lot of time and due process and arguing and so on, and the computer's just going to go, well, actually, I've crunched it in under a second, and it's pretty clear that you did it, and it's pretty clear you should get 3 years, and it's pretty clear you should just go down there now. So...
I like this.
But this is, like...
It can still have a wig.
Sometimes things take too long. Right, yeah, the computer can have a wig. That's fine. I'm completely happy with that. But, like, I just think, like, TV shows like Deal or No Deal, right? I would just love to go on there and just go 5, 12, 1, 2, 4, 7. Oh, I'm out. I got 50p. That's the end. But it's like the way they drag it out. And I think the justice system is a bit the same sometimes. They drag things out a lot to give it due process, to allow people to really weigh up the stuff. It's like, it's very clear what happened here, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
So I say, yeah, have a computer judge that just sits there and you just...
Do you know the thing which is slightly wrong with this, I suppose, is that we're pretending that justice has logic, and justice probably doesn't have logic. Yeah.
No, it's probably horribly biased by what people look like.
Yes, no, but that's something worth getting rid of.
Mm.
But if we're talking about a... I suppose, how do you work in the sort of... I'm not asking, I don't want the wiggle room. I would rather things were clear cut and simple, but I'm thinking that I'm assuming that many of our laws are wrong. So if this just becomes a way of saying computer says no, your protest against free speech, your protest for free speech or whatever, does mean that you should be thrown in the slammer for whatever length of time. Could this deferment and removing a human element mean that there's no prospect for blame? So perhaps do we need judges because we need to be able to appeal for mistrial? And we need to be able to... Do you know what I mean? Where does responsibility go if the computer gets it wrong or if the law behind the computer is wrong? Mm. And I think that's the one that's the issue here. Would we end up taking the... I was about to say Jack Straw there, which shows how out of date I am. And the name of the current one has completely escaped my mind.
Who is the Justice Minister? Yeah. We need to know this. Okay, let me check.
Let's imagine Judge Dredd, right? Whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, call it Judge Dredd for now till I look it up.
Does that mean, like, in the event of changes in law, how do we deal with that? I suppose I'm like removing a human elephant.
The computer would... Removing a human elephant is a good idea. The computer would just incorporate the new law into its logic circuits and would carry on.
Yeah, but I suppose I'm talking here still about responsibility. Like, if a judge... but also the problem is that everything that works in precedent currently, right? Like, that's the thing which is always argued. That it is fudgy. Like justice is comparable. It's not just what is right. It's what happened them instead. So computers could sort that right out and just give us definitive answers. That'd be cool. But what might not be cool is throwing all that over to the computer, like something being logically correct. The person did do the crime, but the person did a victimless crime or something like that. You know, there's still going to have to be humans somewhere involved in this because we make the decisions. So that's the end of our first podcast in this format. Don't worry, we're going to continue the old one as well, touring the country with our experts and asking people whose opinions actually matter when it comes to science. But we've got some other stuff coming up as well, including we are at the Croydon Comedy Festival for a new venture on the 26th of October at the Spread Eagle Pub. Do you want to tell people about that, Rich?
So that is a stand-up show called Packing for Mars, which is us doing jokes about the Mars mission. And we've got Gemma Arrowsmith and Sam Baines gigging with us. It's going to be super fun. Come along.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.